I want to read Hebrews 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God. Now, that's just not talking about salvation only. Although that'd be the first come to God moment, come to Jesus, you know. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, that he exists as the one who meets that need. Amen. There's a lot to that. But that must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God. So if you come to God in for salvation, come to God for anything you're praying about, you must believe some things. You must believe he is, that he exists, that he is that you need. Not that he was, but that he is. Not just was and gonna be, but is right now. If you come for healing, believe that he is the healer. And there's more than I can get into on that right now, but believe me, there's about five different things that means. But the point is that he must believe that he is, and he must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believe that he'll make it pay off that you sought him. You gotta believe that. Believe that if you reach up, he'll reach down. If you call, he'll make it worth your while. He'll answer. You seek, you'll find. You knock, it will be open. You know why people don't seek? They don't believe they'll find. You know why they don't call? They don't believe that he'll answer. You have to believe that he will reward your moving towards him in faith. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 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 Believe that if you draw near, he'll draw near to you. He'll make it pay off that you reach out and begin to call, begin to seek, begin to believe, begin to, you know, pray or, you know, knock or all these things that he said he would respond to. In other words, believe that he will respond. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go over to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. And we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. It says, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Will he do it? You got to believe that. He'll set you on high and above all the nations of the earth. And then he said, "And all these blessings shall come on you," come on thee or you, "and overtake you, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God." And, as verse 1 says, do them. Do what he says. Amen. So he said, if you'll listen to what I say and do it, then these things will come to pass. That's Old and New Testament. In other words, I don't know if you've ever noticed many of the things that God said in his word. In fact, somebody said, I didn't count them, I'm just taking somebody else's word for it. There's over 1,400 different times, I think 1,467 different times God states something with a, it's not always an if, but it always has the context of you do this, I do that. It basically has an if you do this, I'll do that. Over 1,400 times in the Bible, Old and New Testament. In other words, like take the New Testament. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. In other words, there's really an if there. If you do your part, I will do this. And then, amen. And so what we're talking about is that promises in the Bible are conditional. God doesn't just say in the Bible, I'm going to do this for you. He says, you do this, and you do A, and I'll do B. Amen. No honest student of the Bible can say that there's anything that is different than that in the Bible. You understand, there are people today that are trying to, in the name of, there's some doctrine going around that is just sort of all up to God. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody, the modern excessive, you know, you don't have to live right. You don't have to believe the promises. You don't have to govern your life according to the Bible and do things the way God says are right. You just live any old way you want, and all the blessings of God will fall on you because of grace. There's nowhere in the Bible that there's only God's side of these things. It's always, for example, in the New Testament, by grace through faith. In other words, God needs a pipeline to get these blessings to us, and they involve something we do on our side. No honest student of the Bible, notice I said honest, student of the Bible, will say anything different. Now, you understand, with us doing something without God doing his part, there's not going to be anything come to pass. But my point is, these things are conditional. Amen? And what modern Bible teachers oftentimes overlook is the man's side. Amen? You know, these excessive doctrines in our day are actually getting back under what is called the teachings of the sovereignty of God. It's all up to God. It's all God's sovereign, and he just makes these things come to pass for people. It doesn't have anything to do with them, what they believe, what they don't believe, what they do, what they don't do, whether they live the way the Bible tells them to live or don't, whether they're honest, whether they have integrity or anything. It's just all up to God. That, my son, is my son. That, my dear friend, is error. That's error. That's false. That's fake news. Don't listen to fake news. Y'all still out there? That's not the way the Bible's set up. Well, you know, you're getting us back under works. No, it's not a works thing. It's a faith thing. It's taking God at his word by faith. Amen. The whole Bible's set up that way. And they're leaving it all up to God, but the Bible blows holes through that idea, because both Old and New Testament says, you do this, I'll do that. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. You choose. Amen. You choose. In other words, there's a man's side to this. There's conditions. Prosperity, for example, there's a whole lot of things said in the Bible that are conditional. It's not going to just happen just because, I made a confession of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you've got to, we're going to look at this tonight. Many times we preach the promises but tend to gloss over the ifs. You know what I mean? Or the conditions. You know, we just say, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. Well, that was said to a specific group of people who were supporting the gospel. Amen? In other words, God's statements of condition are put in the Bible so that when we act on it, God can legally make good on his word and just go on the devil while he's doing it. And the devil can't do anything about it. His word is conditional to block the devil out and to secure and make certain what you are believing for. You have to understand why God did it the way he did it. He's really blocking the devil out. And he can say, no, I can legally do this for them because they have chosen my word. They have chosen what I said. And I will honor my word. You have to believe, when it comes to the Bible, you have to believe that God will make it worth your while to meet the conditions. Amen. You know, people say, well, you know, that's kind of, you know, believing all those promises, all that business, you know, you all believe the promises and everything. Isn't that kind of iffy? No, it says all the promises of God are yes and amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. There's no ifing there, no if there. And they're certain. They're certain. Amen. Say to your neighbor that everything God said is certain. Because they're backed by His own integrity. With Him, there's no variableness. There's no shadow turning like I was talking about in the offering. They are conditional. Amen. The iffiness is on our side. People say, that's kind of iffy, isn't it? And you could say back to them, yeah, I've been believing that for a long time. They're real iffy. The Bible's real iffy. If you do this, I will do that. Not iffy in the sense whether you can't never tell what God's going to do. Not that kind of iffy. But they are full of ifs. They are full of conditions, but it's all on man's side. So, yeah, they're very iffy. Amen. Not God's side. You hear the way I said that? His promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Always, always comes through on His word. His answer is always yes. Always amen. In other words, it's not God holding any of these things back. It's man meeting the conditions that opens up for the receiving. It's not the giving that is held back. It's the receiving that is not done. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we got to meet the conditions. That's what we got to understand. All these Bible promises aren't, you know, iffy on God's side. But they are on our side. Amen. In other words, we choose whether we're going to have those blessings. It's like whenever God says, if you do this, I'll do the other. We basically, whenever we do the first part, we're basically signing the contract and say yes to that blessing. That's we're putting our signature on it and endorsing that particular blessing and say, yeah, I'll take that. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. So a good minister won't only preach the promises, but they'll preach the man's responsibility. Amen. God will do His part. He's just waiting on man to do his part. Can you say amen? So Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He didn't just say you'll eat the good of the land because you're my people and I love you so much and I'm so gracious. Then you'll eat the good of the land because of me. No, you'll eat the good of the land because of what you do. Amen. Remember Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. It's not God doing it, it's us doing it. Now, I don't mean God's not involved. I'm just simply saying He's already done His part. So in that sense, it's not God doing His part. It's us doing what He said. And by doing what He said, amen, doing our part, then it all comes to pass. So really, it's on our side, making our own way prosperous. Somebody said, well, it's not working. Well, we could say you did that. I mean, if it's me. People don't like it this way. They just want to just sort of do their thing and then, you know, just run to God when they have a need. It doesn't work that way. We've got to understand, it doesn't work that way. You can try it. You can beat your head against the wall. You can go through all the motions. But it doesn't work that way. Hello? Praise the Lord. So if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Now notice, willing and obedient, that's two things. That's not just obedient. That's not just the doing of it. That's the willingness. So you can go through all the motions and not do this, and you haven't met the conditions. You can do it grumbling. You can do it complaining. You can do it dragging your feet. You can do it. You're wishing you didn't have to do it. You can do it like a victim. Like God's making a victim out of you. Still won't work. Because the willingness is the attitude. The obedience is the doing of it. Your own children, it doesn't work with you whenever they do something you said with an attitude. Just something goes all over you, doesn't it? Goes all over you, and you say, you come back here, and you get them by the ear and twist it, and you say, now, you make an attitude adjustment, and then we'll see. Amen. Bless your darling heart, you parents. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, starts around verse 4 and goes on down through there. You know, all he said, he's given us the exceeding great and precious promises. We might be partakers of the divine nature, whereby are given unto us these promises. And he said, he's given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Amen. So it's really already given. 2 Peter 1, it's already given. But then he said, we must exercise our faith. And then he said, then add to your faith virtue. And add to your faith knowledge and brotherly kindness and so forth. That's called holy living. People try to use their faith without living right. You're not meeting the conditions. They want to sleep with their boyfriend. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, you're young and you haven't seen it catch up to you yet, but see, that catches up to you. That's called not living right. And so, hallelujah. There's a way that God says, what he calls living right, there's a way that is right with him, and there's the things that are wrong with him. People want to fuss about that, but, you know, I didn't write the Bible. Are you still out there? You still love me? So, like 2 Peter 1, 4 through whatever it is there, 8, 9, whatever. I didn't look at the end of it, but he's talking about, these verses talk about adding morality and right living to your faith. Morality is still a biblical principle. You can't be shacking up and living in immorality, living in sin, and get all the promises of God. Amen. Thank you for all that feedback. Boys, get excited about the word. That's when it'll work. Hallelujah. You know, if you need a miracle, you need deliverance, you need a victory in some area of your life, God has that for you. He has that for you. God's word has promises that covers those things. But those things are always conditional. Amen. They're activated by faith, but faith in God's promises means deciding to believe that if I do what he said do, then he'll make good on that second part. Amen. Amen. Then what is necessary for him on his side will come to pass. I do what's necessary to meet the conditions. Amen. I govern every word and every action according to the conditions on that promise. Amen. And I base my belief on that, then he'll reward me with the fulfillment of that promise. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, he will. You have to believe it's worth living right. I've been a couple of times in nations overseas that have come out from under communism. And in communism and in socialism, that kind of a government, the message is communicated eventually to the people. It doesn't matter how hard you work. We're going to take it from you and do our thing with it. And some of these, and oftentimes, now I'm not saying there's no corruption in our government, because dear Lord, is it being exposed. And we've been praying for it to be exposed. So don't get me wrong, but, you know, compared to these other nations, I mean, we look like choir boys. And I'm not saying don't take me wrong. There's stuff that needs to be cleaned out, major stuff. But But the point is, in these other nations where there's all this, you know, everybody at the top is getting them to gathering everything to themselves, just doing what they want with it. And the corruption that invades that kind of a system, because there's no checks and balances. They're just some big guy that's not accountable to anybody. You know? And so that kind of system breeds corruption. And so in that kind of culture and that kind of system and that kind of government, I've noticed in that, I've been to a couple of countries, I've been to places in this country ministering to groups that came from other countries, and I noticed a particular kind of apathy about the Word of God. It stands out to me every time. I said it stands out to me every time. And I was talking to somebody recently about one of these particular situations, a particular group, and I was asking them about it. I said, I have recognized this spiritual lethargy. I have recognized that it's there, but I do not know what, I know what I'm seeing, but I don't know why it is there. This was a group here in the United States. I said, I don't know why it's there. And this, and I was asking somebody who knew about this kind of a group. And they said this. They said it's because of this culture that they came out of. This socialism culture where there's just corruption at the top and money is being pilfered. It's ridiculous. And they said it's so corrupt, and the corruption at the top, it basically means it doesn't matter how hard you work or that you do the right thing or you keep all the laws that are set down in the government of the nation. Amen. The corruption, number one, and the system of government, number two. Yeah, you make more, we're going to take more from you. They both undermine the incentive to do the right thing. It decentivizes doing the right thing. Amen. And living right and honestly and keeping the law, and it'll be rewarded. Because all these other people aren't keeping the law, and they're getting ahead, and they're you know, buying their way into positions where they're pilfering more money, and so there's no incentive to do the right thing, because there's no law, the laws are not enforced. There's a breakdown of the laws of society, and you don't have to do the right thing to make it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so living honestly is not rewarded. Living corrupt is rewarded. Therefore, this particular person went on to say, when you tell these people that are used to that system that God will reward you for right living, believing His word, keeping His promises, and keeping your side of the deal, you understand? He'll reward you for all that. It's hard for them to grab a hold of that. All they've seen is that these corrupt people, these corrupt politicians and other corrupt groups, that they're the ones that get ahead. You understand what I'm talking about? Those who keep the rule of the law are not rewarded. They are taken from. And this person went on to say further, the first thing they need to learn is that their reward is not from government, it's from God. That you do the right thing, it doesn't matter what the government does, God will take care of you. Your reward is from God for living right and doing the right thing. And you can put your faith in Him that He'll take care of you and cause you to rise to the top. Secondly, he said that this person said that they have to believe that He's faithful to His promises and He will reward those who qualify themselves to receive those promises through practicing His word. In other words, meeting the conditions. This is huge, folks. We got a culture that doesn't want to do anything in order to succeed. They want everybody to give it to me, and if it's corrupt, so what? Trying to get into this nation. And I'll lay the blame right at the feet of the preachers in the pulpit who aren't telling the truth, saying you can live any old way and God will bless you. Not so. That's the breakdown of the integrity, morality, honesty, just doing the right thing, and the rule of law in a nation. That's the beginning of the end of a nation. There has to be rewards and incentives for doing the right thing. We got to stop this thing. Everybody gets a participation trophy. No. No. You participated, but you lost. No trophy. We got to stop this stuff. Now you're all excited about what I'm preaching because you're understanding it better. Amen. Come on, say amen if you can. Praise the Lord. This is huge. You have to decide you're going to live by principles. The principles of God's word. And that it will pay off. It will pay off. God will honor it. In the short run, it might look like it's going to cost you something. But in the long run, God will honor it. To do the right thing will pay off. Can you say amen? Amen. You've got to decide. You're going to get good at living by principles. You're not living by whims. You're not living by circumstances. You're doing the right thing is not based on circumstantial situations. Well, it just depends. No, it depends on a decision I have made to walk in the integrity of God's word. And God will see to it that I rise to the top. He said so in Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. You keep my commandments, observe my statutes. He said, I will set you on high. That means above everybody else. You're preaching right and wrong living, Pastor. Absolutely. 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 Hallelujah. You got to believe that. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. What does that mean? Confidence in just his promises? Yeah, confidence that if you do your side, it will pay off. He will see to it that it pays off for you to do the right thing, to do what to meet the conditions of those promises. And I tell you, it's a lifelong job. It's a full-time job. And it'll be a lifelong job to keep your nose in the book and keep tweaking yourself and make sure you're meeting the conditions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will make sure that it pays off for you. He'll make sure. Amen. He'll make sure. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He'll make sure that pays off for you. It might not be popular. People might laugh at you. You know, you're going to church, all that. You're twice a week and all these times. You know, what good is that doing you? It's paying off for me. It's paying off for me. You know, one thing sometimes people don't see is not just what God did, but what they missed. Yeah, they missed this accident. They missed this sickness and disease. They missed their baby dying. They missed the bankruptcy that would have happened if they had not been a tither. Those are things we're going to have to wait to heaven to get a full view of. But they're nonetheless real, and they're nonetheless happening for all of us right now. I can tell you a couple times where I just look back on, I would have been dead about 2-3 times. Missed it. It's paying off for me. Hallelujah. It pays to hold fast to the confession of your faith because he is faithful that promised. Come on, somebody say amen. There is a recompense. There is a payday. It might not be every Friday night, but it will come. God will make sure that it comes to pass. Hallelujah. When you stick with it and you won't quit and you don't cast away your confidence and say, living right isn't working for me. believing God's word isn't working for me, but you just keep on saying, no, it's paying off. It's paying off. You'll just keep rising higher and higher and higher. And when other people are sinking, here you are just rising higher and higher and higher. You might not see it all by the end of the week or by the end of the month, but for the rest of your life, you'll go from glory to glory and from strength to strength. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. If you study the scriptures, this is one of God's ways. He does things conditionally. He says, you do this, I'll do this. It's one of his ways. It's one of his ways. He puts conditions on his blessings. And that's not a works program, it's a faith issue. People are missing it today in this area because of the extreme teaching on grace. We're under a time of grace. I said, we're under a time of grace. But how many of you know salvation, I'm talking about the new birth, is, a free gift, but it still has some conditions. What's the conditions? Believe in your heart and say with your mouth. People in the extreme teachings that are going around, are so averse to us doing anything that they are calling faith works. That's a works program. No, it's called faith, and that's not a works program. It is a response to God. God needs his man to respond to him. It's not works, it's a response. And don't forget it. I said it's not works, it's a response. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Tell your neighbor that's good preaching, whether you want to admit it or not. Amen. Salvation is a free gift, but is everyone saved? Huh? No. Yeah, that was awfully weak for Spirit of Faith Family Church. No. Is everybody going to heaven? No. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Let's go to Noah. Noah believed God when he said there's a flood coming, make a boat and so forth. And he was saved. Everybody else drowned. Why? Because he believed God. Rahab believed that God was giving them, the Israelites, the city. She was spared. Everybody else destroyed. Israel believed God when he said, go through the sea. They took him at his word and went through the sea. They were spared. Egypt drowned. It's all through the Bible. Egypt had the plagues. The people of God didn't. All through the Bible, there are some who receive and some don't. And it's not up to God deciding. It's who's going to believe his word. And we could go on and on with that. Amen. Hallelujah. Not everybody's saved. Not everybody's free. Not everybody's blessed. Not everybody's walking in the blessings of God. And there's a why attached to it. They didn't meet the requirements. They've got to believe in their heart and confess it with their mouth. Amen. That's the way the entire Word of God is set up, by the way, not just salvation. A lot of times people are waiting on God to do something. He's waiting on them. I mean, the Bible's just saturated with conditions. Just saturated with it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In the English dictionary, the word if is defined as on the conditions that. That's the way the English dictionary defines if. On the conditions that. Wow. In other words, the grace side is God's side. Amen. But there are conditions on man's side. When we satisfy those conditions, we're assured in our hearts that the promise will be fulfilled. The conditions are there to assure us and block the devil out. Amen. Are you getting it? They're there to assure us and to block the devil out. Amen. When we meet the conditions, if should not be in our vocabulary anymore. Once the conditions are met. If we have an if after we've met the conditions, well, I don't know if this is going to work. That's unbelief. You understand? That once you've met the conditions, there is no more if. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I just don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if I'm going to receive. Well, that's a doubt. Amen. Get the if out of your vocabulary and start believing that God said, if I did this, this would happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's an if. We are only going to receive if we believe God and do anything else he said are the conditions in the situation we're in. And then we have to believe God and not doubt. Amen. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's a condition. You got to say it, not doubt in your heart. Then he'll have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Then he said, Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. That's a condition. Believe you receive is a condition. Notice he didn't say, believe God wants to do it. He didn't say, believe it's God's will. Although these are things we've got to believe. But in this verse, he said, believe that we receive. I said, in that verse, it's believe that we receive. Can you see what I'm talking about? The prayer of faith is conditional on you believing something. Not just believing that God exists, like he said there in Hebrews. That's one thing, but that's not far enough. Hebrews 11:6, believing that he exists, that's good, but not far enough. Not just believing that he exists or that he hears you or, you know, believing that he has promised you these things, but go one step further. Believe that you receive. Amen. That's the condition. A lot of folks, they're still waiting, you know, on God. They're still waiting to see something before they believe they got anything. Amen. They're walking by sight rather than by faith in the promises of God's word. It's a difficult thing to get across to people who are walking in the mental and the rational mind, you know, so much that they're so bound up with human reasoning, you know. It's difficult to get across to them that they must believe they receive before they have it. Because he said, believe you receive and you shall have it. That's a condition. But they want to see the answer first, then they're going to believe they received it. Listen, folks, this is Spirit of Faith Family Church, and I still encounter it almost weekly. You'd be surprised after preaching, going back there to the door and shaking people's hands. It's just they're still waiting. They're still bound by the sense knowledge realm. Still bound by the sense knowledge realm. Well, I know you're not shouting amen as much as you would like, maybe, because it's hurting a little bit, but these are the conditions. How many of you know God didn't make those conditions to block you out? He made those conditions so that when you do it, he blocks the devil out and it's certain for you. He's not blocking you out. He's making it sure for you. Certain. It's based on the integrity of his word. Hallelujah. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, that's the Thomas kind of faith. Amen. The believing comes before the having. Too often folks, though, they're going to believe it whenever it comes to pass. That's the Thomas kind of faith. Abraham's kind of faith believed against hope, and it considered not what is seen in the natural circumstances. It says he considered not his own body. When people believe, are not going to believe they received until they have it, they're considering what they see. That's Thomas's kind of faith. Abraham's kind of faith considered not what he saw. Amen. He believed that he received the promise many years before Sarah actually conceived and had that baby and produced a baby. Hallelujah. Are we learning anything? How about John 15:7? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. See, right there is where a lot of people come short. The word's not in them. You know it's not because you ask them, what are you standing on? You know. You know, if you can't tell me what you're standing on, you're certainly not telling God. So if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then he said, you'll ask what you will. And notice, it shall be done unto you. Abiding in him, first of all, means born again. Second of all, it means in living in continual fellowship with him, not doing anything to break that fellowship. Anything against the light of the word that you have. Amen. Amen. But that's not enough either. He said, then after that, the word has to abide in us. His word must abide in us concerning what we're praying for. Amen. Praise the Lord. What does God say about that matter? What does God say about your finances? Well, I've been hearing some things from the word you're preaching, Pastor, and I'm getting a hold of it. Well, if you really want the best, dive into it yourself. I mean, get the word in you yourself. Get some materials or products or something that just full of the word and just pour it in you. That's the foundation for faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you have a need, find a scripture that meets that promises you what you're praying for. Then you have a solid foundation for faith. What about Mark 11, 23 and 24 is followed by Mark 11, 25? There's a condition. Mark 11, 23 and 24, we know we just quoted that. But then Mark 11, 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. If you have aught against any. Aught means anything. If you have anything against anyone, big, medium size, or little. You can't have any ill will or animosity in your heart. That's a condition. Galatians 5, 6, faith works by love. Amen. You can make all your confessions, do them daily. Amen. And even make sure they're all 100% scriptural. Amen. And your faith still won't work if you don't walk in the divine kind of love towards anyone. Or towards everyone. Amen. You go through all the emotions. Amen. Come to church and shout. But if you have an air of unforgiveness about you, whenever somebody's mentioned, somebody's name is mentioned, if you kind of bristle up on the inside. Amen. See, I didn't write the Bible. But it's a condition. Don't have any ill will or animosity towards anyone. When the devil starts working on me about somebody, I start going after it. I mean, if I have to, I'm going to send them an offering. I'm going to do something. Amen. People are trying to get things to work for them, but taking it out of the context. Trying to make it work anyway, but those are conditional. How about 1 Peter 3:7? We were talking about this in the marriage conference. Just giving you some of these examples of the condition. Now, notice these are all New Testament. 1 Peter 3:7, ye husbands, dwell with the wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life. Let your prayers be hindered. Yeah. 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 Conditional. Yeah. Conditional.
Yes, sir.
Ye. Jesus. I better get off of that one. I'll get convicted. Which we need. We need. Hallelujah. Let the conviction roll, man. I'm telling you, let the conviction. I mean, we ought to come to church and say, ouch, that hurts so good. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, you're working me out. You're working me. You're working me. You're working things out in my life. That's just one of them. There's many things in the New Testament talking about conditions. You know, Matthew 6:33, putting kingdom first. Luke 6:38, you know, give and it'll be given unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to have things given to you, you must be a giver. And then go to God, remind him of his promises. You said if I'd be a giver, amen, they'd come back to me the same measure that I give. How many of you know you've been left peace Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. That means in the Greek, bequeathed. You've been left his peace as a gift. But you ever notice it's conditional?
Yeah.
John 14, 27. My peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Then he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let yourself be afraid. Whoa, wait a minute now. Let's just ignore that second part. I want the peace. But he said, okay, there's something you're going to have to do. Why are we so averse to doing things? I'm not. But some people in the body of Christ, they don't want to do. How about, I want to grow spiritually. Then forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. It's conditional. And we're just going, we're skimming over the top of the New Testament. You can make all your confessions you want and not meet the conditions. You can even confess what the conditions are. If I seek first the kingdom of God, you'd add all these things to me. I claim that, Father. But if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, that confession doesn't take the place of seeking first the kingdom of God. It's a little like saying, you know, you got a treadmill there in your house. I confess that if I get on that every, you know, three times a week, 20 minutes a day, 20 minutes, three times, 20 minutes, then I'll lose weight. I make a confession of faith. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. And it won't work for you unless you do it. It's so clear when you think about it. Isn't this fun? Yes, it's fun. You know, I want to walk in peace. Why won't God give me peace? Why won't you do what he said? Then the peace would have come. Matthew 6, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Philippians 4, whatsoever is true, honest, think on these things. Isaiah 26, 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Oh, we got to do something? Yep. Conditions. Are you getting it tonight? Those are just awesome examples, but let me finish up by saying this. It's possible today with our technology to get on an airplane and fly. I guess, where's the international dateline? Between here and Australia somewhere? Or I don't know where it is. Somewhere. But you can get on an airplane and fly across the international dateline. And when you land, it'll be tomorrow. And you can call us back here in today. And, you know what I'm talking about? Call your friend and say, hello, I'm calling from tomorrow. And I just want to let you know, it all works out fine. Isn't that right? I'm in your tomorrow, and it's all working out fine. Well, what am I saying? There's a spiritual truth here. When God puts in his word, these are my conditions. He's saying, if you'll meet those conditions, I'm guaranteeing this is the way it'll be in your tomorrow. It's God calling. It's God calling and saying, this is from tomorrow, and it's all going to be all right because you met the conditions. Oh. You see, God doesn't live in time. He transcends time and space and all of that. And he's already been in your future. That means his word is a revelation of your tomorrow. When he said in Jeremiah, you ever read in Jeremiah 29:11? I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, thoughts to do you good, not of evil, to give you a, King James says, hope in the future, I believe. Expected end, another translation says, or maybe that's the King James. Yeah, it's King James. And the others say, a hope in the future. So when God says that, he's telling you what your tomorrow is going to be. When he says, I give you an expected end, that's a reference to tomorrow. That's how it's going to be in the future for you. Amen. He's telling us that you can expect to have his word, something good from him tomorrow, and that will be your reward. It's what he desires for you if you follow these conditions. Does that make any sense? So, being that God is in a realm called, there's no time, and his word then is a revelation about your tomorrow. When you read the Bible, God's calling from tomorrow with a message about your future. What is the message? If you follow certain principles in my word today, I'll guarantee your tomorrow will work out just right.
Amen.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're meeting the conditions. Hallelujah. Whenever you do that, you're making a choice to have what God promised your tomorrow to be. He promised you an outcome. You can disregard God's principles and God's conditions and so forth and forfeit the bright future because God's made us free moral agents to choose. We choose what God has planned or we choose another plan. Isn't that right? We choose the future that God has planned for us by doing what he said to get there. Amen. He has a pre-planned good life. Remember in Ephesians, it talks about in 2:10, you've taken paths which he has prepared ahead of time, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready to live. That's been planned for you, but he's still giving you the choice whether you take that path that gets you there. All these conditions are his path there. You don't need a word from God outside of this to find out what the path is to get there. Hallelujah. Boy, this is getting clear. So he's saying in Jeremiah 29:11 that he has a pre-planned good life for you, but you must take the paths that are chosen that God has said this is how you get there. You just can't live any old way and get there. You can't receive the blessings just living any old way. Amen. He's also made us a free moral agent. He hasn't just planned something. He's made us a free moral agent. The worst thing I think about hell will be the fact that it didn't have to be this way. That'll probably be the worst thing about the whole thing. Why did I not listen? Why did I not listen?
Come on.
Didn't have to be this way. The worst thing about hell will be regrets.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, the worst thing about life not going the way it should here is the regrets of knowing it could have been different. I sat and heard the word. I sat in church. I knew better. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to make right choices and align your life with the path God's chosen for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is this getting clear? If God gets to write the script through your choices, then you through your choices meet the conditions to make sure the outcome equals what God's script says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of the word? To get there, you have to know what the conditions are, number one. Number two, you must meet those conditions. And number three, you must earnestly expect that if I walk in these, God will make good on his word and make my outcome the way he said. Earnestly expect it, day in, day out. Hallelujah. Your expectations should not come from your past. Well, I've always been poor, so that's what I'm expecting. No, your expectations should come from I'm keeping the conditions of this word. Therefore, I have expectation of God making good on this, and it'll all come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. It comes from meeting the conditions. Hallelujah. We are told that faith has corresponding actions in James 2:17, aren't we? Hallelujah. Yeah, so really the future is rushing towards all of us. Amen. Which one's it going to be? Which one's it going to be? There's one that's bright and beautiful. Hallelujah. How does God get that into your life? He says, okay, do this. Be willing and obedient. Put first the kingdom of God. Honor the Lord with your substance. Amen. Believe my word. Say what I said. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Don't be a person that holds unforgiveness. Walk in love. All these things. We've mentioned only a few of them tonight. He says, that's you choosing the way to get there. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 That's the way to the guarantees that he makes in his word. When he guarantees, he's no vain talker. God is not a vain talker. And we shouldn't treat his word as just a politician talking, you know, making promises to try to get something out of it. No, we treat it as God Almighty, who cannot lie, who has our best interest at heart. Say that out loud. He has my best interest at heart. Yes, he does. He has my best interest at heart. And when he says this is the way to get there, trust him. Trust him. And say, all right, I'm going to meet those conditions. Hallelujah. I'm going to, like, take, for example, meditating in his word, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, thou may observe to do, according to all that's written therein, then make your way prosperous, have good success. Are you meeting those conditions? Or is it just Sunday and Wednesday? Amen. Woo! Whoa! Ow! Well, this is one of those services where you go home and you pray through. It's sobering. The responsibility lies with us. God will do his part. There's trying to work on God's end is a futile attempt. It's trying to redo something that's already certain. It's trying to make certain something that's already certain. That's certain. All we got to do is focus on our part and trusting him and saying, Father, I want to thank you. You're faithful. I count you faithful who have promised. Hallelujah. I preach myself happy tonight. If you're not happy, then go find out why. Now, there's got to be a reason.